Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones-Cruz, Katie Weaver, Mario Ritter, Anna Mateo, Brian Lynn, and Dan Friedel. Later, Anne Ball will have this week's Science in the News report. But first, here are Christopher Jones-Cruz and Katie Weaver.
Aides for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are hard at work in the same building in Washington, D.C. The election is not until November, but each team is preparing for their candidate to become president in January. The news website FederalTimes.com reported that the aides moved into a building near the White House in early August. Congress has approved a budget of more than $13 million for the transition planning.
President Barack Obama will leave office, and the new president will take office on January 20th, 2017. That is less than 3 months after the election on November 8, 2016. Recently, top transition officials from both campaigns met with Obama's top aides. Obama's spokesman told reporters that the administration will be helpful to both candidates as they take part in transition planning.
White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said everyone who took part in the meeting understands the serious responsibility that they have to ensure a smooth and effective transition. Experts say a strong and well-organized transition effort can help the new president be successful early in the first term. The transition team is to work to create plans to govern. It also is expected to help the new president honor campaign promises.
Hillary Clinton has already taken part in two presidential transitions. In 1992, her husband, Bill Clinton, was elected president. She experienced the transition from the administration of President George H.W. Bush, the 41st president. She dealt with the transition from the other side as well, when her husband left office and George W. Bush became president.
The transition efforts are technically separate from the campaigns of the nominees. However, most of the transition officials for Trump and Clinton are, or were, top aides to the candidates. The Pre-Election Presidential Transition Act of 2010 gives money and offices to the major party nominees to help prepare them to govern the nation. The law was strengthened by the Presidential Transitions Improvements Act of 2015. It requires the outgoing president to begin planning the change of power at least 6 months ahead.
Until recently, new presidents did not begin officially preparing for office until after the election in November. It leaves little time to do a lot. Thousands of workers are needed to run the White House. The president must also choose senior officials to lead agencies throughout the government.
The transition is a costly effort. Time magazine reported that in 2012, between 300 and 500 people worked on Republican Mitt Romney's pre-election transition effort. It cost almost $9 million. Romney did not win the election. Because President Obama was already in office, he did not take part in transition planning. The Partnership for Public Service is a nonprofit organization that works to improve the effectiveness of the federal government. It has created the Center for Presidential Transition. The center helps to make the next president ready to govern on the first day in office. Researchers at the center have interviewed former leaders of presidential transitions, read academic reports, and collected documents from previous transitions.
Max Steer is one of the leaders of the center. He told ABC News that winning and not being ready to govern is a big problem. He notes that the new president and aides will be leading an organization with 4 million employees and an almost $4 trillion budget. Steer told an interviewer that the transition is a moment of both incredible power and vulnerability. It is powerful in the sense that it's a representation of our democratic practice. But the transition is also a time in which we present to the world an opportunity for mischief.
The center says transitions can be too hurried, resulting in a new administration being unprepared to deal with an emergency. The center provides plans to help the candidates as they create a protected computer network, get needed security clearances, and organize offices, among other duties. Steer said the new president must name 4,000 new leaders of government agencies. He says about 25% of them require Senate approval.
This is the first presidential transition in which aides for both candidates are working in the same office building. The team whose candidate wins the election will quickly speed their plans to take control of the federal government. The team whose candidate loses, however, must leave the offices provided by the federal government within a few days. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
The World Health Organization is increasingly concerned about the spread of the Zika virus in Southeast Asia. The United Nations organization is worried the virus, which is carried by mosquitoes, could affect local populations in the area. Rodrigo Offren is the WHO Regional Emergencies Director for Southeast Asia. He said countries need to carry out, in his words, effective surveillance and reporting systems to closely observe the disease's spread. WHO is working with countries across the Southeast Asia region to continue to prevent, detect, and respond to Zika virus transmissions, Offren said in an email to VOA. He said the plan to deal with the disease places importance on limiting the spread of the disease and strengthening Zika virus and birth defect surveillance. He added that increasing the abilities of laboratories to test for the disease and increasing communication with communities were also important. Zika is blamed for causing the birth defect microcephaly, which can cause babies to be born with unusually small heads and possible brain damage. So far, South America has suffered the most from the Zika virus. Brazil has reported hundreds of cases of microcephaly since the outbreak started there in 2015. Now, the medical journal The Lancet Infectious Diseases has identified China, India, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand as high-risk countries. The medical publication also said that Africa, south of the Sahara Desert, faced increased risk because of its historical ties with Brazil. It warned that an estimated 2.6 billion people live in places where conditions for the spread of the virus exist. Pregnant women are most at risk. Health officials say the virus also is spread through sexual contact, blood transfusions, and from mother to child. The Zika virus also has been linked to nerve damage that can result in weakened muscles and paralysis, known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. Southeast Asian governments have increased efforts to find evidence of the virus. They have also sprayed chemicals in places where mosquitoes breed. However, Singapore has reported more than 240 cases. Malaysia and Thailand also have reported cases of infection, and the United States, Britain, Australia, and Taiwan have given travel warnings for pregnant women. Singapore's Ministry of Health and National Environment Agency reported that the Zika virus affecting its community came from Asia. It said it did not come from Brazil. Local news agencies in Thailand reported comments of a top official in the Ministry of Public Health's Department of Disease Control. The official said Zika has not become a serious outbreak in the country. However, Thai Public Health Ministry officials say two women in the San Sai district of the city of Chiang Mai are being closely watched. I'm Mario Ritter.
Nearly 50 million children in the world are refugees, migrants, or without a home, the United Nations Children's Agency reported. UNICEF said 28 million children have fled violence or conflict, according to a written report. The agency called the situation a growing crisis. Last year, almost half of all children registered as refugees came from two countries, Syria and Afghanistan. But UNICEF said this crisis affects children from all parts of the world. The UNICEF report mentioned that Central America, Asia, and Africa also have refugees who are children. The report notes that when and if children reach their final stops, the threats they face often do not disappear. Those threats include sex trafficking, criminal gangs, and smuggling. Children continue to need help and protection. World leaders gather in New York for the annual UN General Assembly later this month. There will be two separate meetings on migration and refugees. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon will host the first meeting. U.S. President Barack Obama will host the second meeting. UNICEF said it hopes the summits will be committed to children. The UNICEF report called for addressing the root causes of migration and refugees. The agency said conflict, violence, and extreme poverty are the root causes. The report also urges measures to stop xenophobia and discrimination against refugees. And it introduced measures to prevent the abuse of children on the move. I'm Ana Mateo.
With high inflation and food shortages across Russia, some Russians are growing their own vegetables. The country's struggling economy has kept food prices rising and put millions of people in poverty. In the former Soviet Union, Russians who lived in traditional country homes, called dachas, often grew their own food. Today, many Russian families, including some in cities, are again growing food to deal with the hard economic times. Irina Bulosenko lives and works in Moscow.
Our grandma has a dacha where she grows lots of things like cabbage and beets. I'm cooking borscht right now, and I'm using our beets and carrots. The onions are ours, so we are saving on what we have grown in the summer. So that's why we don't feel it so badly.
But for some families, growing their own food is still not enough. To help them, Russian volunteers have set up food-sharing programs. The food is donated by restaurants or individuals and given to those in need. Tatiana Golubyeva told VOA that receiving food through the program has become important to her family.
We spend now a lot less on food than before when we did not know about food sharing and did not use it. Now we hope that we'll get not only bread, but some other food as well.
She noted that the donations have cut the amount her family spends on food in half. Food sharing volunteer Svetlana Kalmyakova said the program is just getting started, but she believes it can go a long way to help needy people.
I think that food sharing has a big future and big prospects in Russia. The main thing is to inform the public about it so that people learn what it is and what is needed to be done. I think that many will join.
Russians are hoping the country's economy will recover soon, so more food will be available and prices will go down. I'm Brian Lynn.
StarTalk is a language immersion program for students and teachers. Learning a language by immersion means a student is placed in an environment where only the target language is spoken. The StarTalk program is designed to help more Americans learn languages like Arabic, Chinese, Hindi, Persian, and Russian. Those languages are considered critical need foreign languages by the U.S. government. President George W. Bush launched the program as part of a program known as the National Security Language Initiative in 2006. This summer, VOA visited a Russian language class within StarTalk. Students and teachers attended classes at a school in Virginia. The teachers attended classes for 2 weeks and the students for 4. In the classes, the American teachers and students only speak Russian. They also choose Russian names. One student, 19-year-old Joseph Doran chose the name Joseph Timofeyevich. He has spent some time living in Russia. When he was there, he says he ate borscht, the well-known Russian soup made from beets, 7 times a week. I love Russian culture, language. I love reading Russian classical literature, Doran said. It is a very interesting language. Russian people are very nice. I love the opportunities that open to me because I know Russian. Charles Bird is a professor of Russian at the University of Georgia. He was taking classes for 2 weeks in Virginia. He said he grew up thinking Russia must have been an interesting place. He had heard it called an evil empire when he was young. Bird's parents were American diplomats. They always wanted to visit Russia, but they were not allowed to go. The teachers who attend Star Talk each summer meet other teachers and improve their language skills. For the students, they can get better in a short period of time. If the students keep improving, they can point to the time they spent learning Russian one summer as an important first step towards future careers. Betsy Sandstrom is a program director at StarTalk. She said there are a lot of good reasons for students to want to learn Russian. One person wants to become a Russian language teacher. Another wants to be a politician, she said. Knowledge of any foreign language is needed, and Russia is the largest country in the world. I'm Dan Friedel.
Scientists say they discovered an Earth-like planet orbiting the star closest to our planet other than the Sun. It is the closest planet ever found outside our solar system that could support life as we know it. This exoplanet is just 4.2 light years away from us. It is so close that space scientists have likened it to a next-door neighbor. They say it could be reached by an unmanned spacecraft before the end of the century, in time for people alive today to see it. An international team of astronomers found the planet orbiting the star Proxima Centauri. The scientific publication Nature published their findings last month. Scientists have long thought that a planet with water and a not too hot but not too cold climate are important for life. That is, if the planet has an atmosphere. Because the exoplanet exists, scientists say other Earth-like planets may be everywhere in our galaxy. The newly discovered planet is a little larger than Earth. Scientists have named it Proxima B. It orbits its sun, Proxima Centauri, once every 11 days. The American space agency, NASA, has been using the Kepler telescope and other instruments for years to look for Earth-like planets. In 2013, scientists' best guess was that there are about a billion Earths in the universe. Alan Boss is chair of NASA's advisory group for exoplanet exploration. He told VOA that Proxima b not only confirms the discovery of a planet, but also increases the number of other possible Earths by a huge amount. Boss said it is possible, even likely, that most stars have at least one Earth-like planet orbiting them, which he considers astounding. So, from the early estimates of a billion, this new research suggests there may be as many possible Earth-like planets as there are stars in our galaxy. That is, anywhere from 250 billion to 500 billion Earths. This makes the possibility of living organisms increasingly likely. Boss said he believes human beings will prove that there is life in places other than Earth in his lifetime. "I am 65, he told VOA, "but I expect to still be alive when it happens." Paul Butler works at the Carnegie Institution of Washington. He told VOA that finding Proxima B makes the case concrete that there are other planets where life could exist. The confirmation of this planet came from a team of astronomers that call themselves the Pale Red Dot Campaign. The name comes from the star, Proxima Centauri, which is classified as a red dwarf star. Astronomers say it is seen as a pale red dot in the sky. The Pale Red Dot Campaign looks for planets near Proxima Centauri. The scientists studied a very small back-and-forth wobble in the star. They believe that movement could result from the pull of an orbiting planet. Paul Butler said the researchers used two telescopes in different countries to look for possible planets like Earth. Discovering Proxima B, he believes, changes the world. This work has resulted in the discovery of hundreds of planets around the nearest stars, and now a potentially habitable planet around the nearest star in the sky, Butler said. He added, "This work confirms that potentially habitable planets are common and points the way to the future, when such planets will be directly observed with giant ground and space-based telescopes." Proxima b is 45 trillion kilometers away from Earth. Alan Boss said that humans might be able to get a robot spacecraft there in about 50 years or so, if we leave tomorrow. The spacecraft would have to move really fast, about 10% the speed of light. Once it got there, a camera could take pictures and send them back at the speed of light. Some people alive today might get to see the first real pictures of a planet beyond our solar system. And that is something to think about. I'm Ann Ball.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.